has opened up your heart, prepared it to receive the word this morning. No doubt in my mind that the devil is in full force today, trying to distract us and trying to hinder the service here this morning, trying to hinder maybe that which is going to be preached. And that's just because he's going to do that, because that's his job. It's that simple here today. And so we need to remain steadfast and focus upon what the Lord would have us to hear. Now, we looked last week at David in the early years. We looked at the first part of David's life. We examined his experiences in 1 Samuel 16. So today I'm going to ask you to look in 1 Samuel 17. When you do get there, I ask you to kindly, if you're willing and able to, stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. In verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Socah, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socah and Azekah, in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the valley in array, the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, 'Why are you come out to set your battle array? Am not I a Philistine, and he servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us.' The Philistines said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. We would pray now that you please would have your will and your way in our life. I ask you, Lord God, to please make a difference, Lord, in our lives today. We come before you, we bow our hearts and our knees, and we set to the side, Lord, any distractions, Lord, of our life, that which may happen tomorrow, even after service, Father, I pray will be rid from our minds. I ask you, Lord God, to bear witness upon our soul through your precious and perfect and purified word. So, Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise, and ask that you bless this message now to our hearts and our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing for a long reading. Please be seated. Beloved, we saw last week that David was blatantly considered insignificant in the eyes of his family. More than likely in the eyes of those that may have been his friends. Obviously, if he had any foes, I mean, David was considered to be just an insignificant lot, just someone that wasn't even thought of. As a new king was to be anointed there by the prophet Samuel, David was left to watch in the sheep, as no one thought at all that David could have been the one that may receive the anointing to be king over Israel. Nevertheless, the Lord himself would see that a man after his own heart, a man after his own heart, after his own will, after his own way, would be named king of Israel. And now it's a different day, it's a different time. The scene is now set for a new day, a time when the enemies of Israel would come, and the stage is set. The Philistines are on one side of the valley, the Israelites on the other side of the valley, and from nowhere, this giant comes through the crowd. Now, here comes this giant, standing over 9.5 feet tall, carrying a spear whose head weighed 600 shekels, the Bible says. Now, that's roughly 6.8 kilos, or 15 pounds. Just imagine that, if you will, carrying something that weighs 15 pounds in your hands. Well, that was the head of his spear that Goliath had, that he was carrying, weighed 15 pounds, or 6.8 kilos. And we're going to look into the battle. We're going to look into it rather deeply and in greater detail next week. But today, what I want to focus on in David's early years and in David's early life, what I want to focus on now is the moments that led up to the battle. Beloved, did you know today that one of the areas that we fail in greatly in our life, one of the areas that we probably need the greatest amount of improvement, is the times leading up to the battle, the preparation phases of our life, doing everything that needs to be done so that everything goes without a mistake, without a glitch, if you will, without a hitch, doing that which is right in the front end so that when the occurrence happens, when the situation occurs, when the enemy shows up, we're not caught off guard. So next week, we're going to look at the actual battle itself. Today, we're going to be looking at the moments building up to the fight between right and wrong. Building up to the battle between good and evil. Building up between the war that wages between God and Satan. So look with me in 1 Samuel 17 again. And look down in verse 17. We're going to skip down here toward the end. And we're going to see how David's early years, on the backside of seeing how he was insignificant, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 17. And continue on today. The Bible says, "And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they all men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to divide Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should divide the armies of the living God. The people answered him after that this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now, we'll stop there, if you will. I want us to look at David's life here in his early years. I want you to stop and put into your mind right now this young boy who his, you know, we just read last week was insignificant in the eyes of his family. He wasn't even considered to be one of the lot that could come before the prophet to be anointed to be king of Israel. He was someone that was just in the backdrop. He was someone that was, hey, listen, go tend to the sheep, go take the cheeses, go take the loaves. You're not worthy enough or good enough to fight in the battle. Now we find this young boy coming up into the war. And he's seeing everything that's going on. He's seeing Israel fight against the Philistines. He's seeing the battle in the rain. And all of a sudden, he hears this Goliath come up, whom for 40 days now has defied, as David would say, defied the armies of the living God. When we see David's life through his actions, when we look at David through his life and his heart and his words and his deeds, we don't see a young man that is insignificant as we saw last week. We see a young lad that is independent. We see a soul of independency here. An independent soul, beloved, doesn't mean that he was a rebel. It doesn't mean that he was without dependence upon any other. It simply means that David was willing to stand alone for that which was right. David was willing to stand up for God despite the outcome. David was willing to stand and do the right thing before God and everyone despite what the popularity was doing. Just imagine with me, if you will, as David would come up to this army and they're stretched out across the valley on top of each of the mountainsides, an enemy, an unclean champion of Gath named Goliath, mocking the people of God, mocking God out while mocking them, this chosen nation. But yet this young boy believed in truth and right, so much so that even against the popular choice of being afraid and running away from this giant, here's this young, ruddy, comely-looking boy stands up. And he said, "What's going on? How's this guy defying the armies of God?" You see, I want to say the first thing that we find, and again, our main point, point number two in the series of David in the early life is that of independence, but sub-point number one, just as we follow suit of last week, is that we find that David was concerned. David was concerned, guys. Now, would I be stretching the reality this morning if I was to say that we live in an apathetic world? That we live in a world today that is more symbolic of when the Samaritan had fallen, was robbed, and was left for dead? That we live in a world today where the priest, we find the religious rite coming before him and just looking the other way, crossing the street, turning away from helping them? Would it be fair to say today that we live in a world that is almost numb? Not in David's eyes. Not in a young man whose heart was after God's. David was concerned. Look at me in verses 19 and 20, and then we'll skip down to verse 25. 19 and 20 says, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with his keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle." Now look at verse 25. "The men of Israel and the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spake to the men and stood around him." He took on the same thing. But David's concern, first we find, was the well-being of his brothers, taking and being obedient to his dad, taking the 10 loaves, taking the cheeses, taking the things up there to them so that they would have physical nourishment. And when David gets to the battle, he sees the war going on. He didn't just treat himself as a spectator and try to enjoy the bloodshed and enjoy the wages of war like so many today do that we find. What David did was he was concerned that Israel was allowing this guy, this giant, to defy the armies of God Almighty. He was concerned of his fellow countrymen. He was concerned for their livelihood. He was concerned that an unclean, vile Philistine was blaspheming against God. And rightly so, may I add. Guys, can I say this to you this morning? David wasn't afraid about what people thought of. David wasn't standing in fear as to what this lot over here would say if he stood up for the rightness of God. His first thought was how God would think of him. How God Almighty would be blasphemed by this unclean, uncircumcised, vile Philistine. We notice that all Israel, including the king, was afraid. We notice in the same thing that all Israel, when they saw the giant, what did they do? They ran away. Yet David shows up, cheering the home team on. I picture him coming into that thing and going forth. The Bible says in verse 20 that he shouted for the battle. And he was concerned. But secondly, we find this morning that his concern was met with His concern was met by his brother to be condemned. Verse 28, the Bible says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down, thou mightest see the battle.'" His own family. His own people. I mean, he's bringing his family, his brethren, food. He's cheering his nation on. Yet when he arrives, his concern for the people was met with condemnation. He was condemned for standing alone. He was condemned and ridiculed by his own brothers for doing that which is right. Guys, every one of these people, the entire populace of this army, was running away in fear. Yet David stood alone when he was condemned for it. Everyone was succumbing to the giant. They were all laid down. They all laid down with their hearts melted because of fear. And fear of what the flesh can do, beloved, is what it was. They had a carnal leader in Saul. And that carnality filtered down into their own hearts. They looked at this giant. They listened to his words. And they were lured by fear to forsake and forget who and what God is. I wonder sometimes if we find ourselves in the same situation. I wonder sometimes if when five out of the six people that are there are laughing and cutting up and saying things of pure carnality, of things that are vile, doing things maybe even blaspheming God, do you join in or do you stand alone in the crowd? David must have presented himself like a diehard fan for a team who has never won a championship. He believed, man. I mean, what was his reward? His reward was condemnation by his own flesh and blood. He was told to be silent. He was told to go away. He was told that his opinion didn't matter. Beloved, do you see what was going on here? He came to his own people and he only found condemnation. May I say this to you this morning, that an independent soul, someone who is willing to stand up for God, to stand when everyone else is doing is saying the opposite, to stand for what is right rather than fold and comply with the crowd, these are going to be the ones that are world difference makers. Those that are willing to stand in the midst of condemnation, those that are willing to stand because they're concerned with the well-being of their fellow man, these are the ones who change the world. These are the ones who make a difference in the lives of people. You say, well, how? What makes them different? What makes the concern, even in the midst of condemnation, what makes them different? Because an independent soul, guys, lastly, believes in the cause. Now notice I said the cause, rather than a cause. Beloved, there is but one cause in this world for the Christian, and that is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in all we do and all we say and all our lives. Despite what others may do,